Since his Carnegie Hall debut with Skitch Henderson and the New York Pops trumpeter and conductor Byron Stripling has become a Pops orchestra favorite, soloing with the Boston Pops, National Symphony, Pittsburgh Symphony, Cincinnati Pops, Seattle Symphony, Baltimore Symphony, and many, many more. He has been a featured soloist at the Hollywood Bowl on the PBS TV special Evening at the Pops with conductors John Williams and Keith Lockhart. Currently, he serves as artistic director and conductor of the highly acclaimed Columbus Jazz Orchestra. On Saturday afternoon, July 17th at 2:30, he will be conducting the Tanglewood Family Concert, American Melodies, with members of the BSO. It is a family-friendly journey through the early songs that defined America, from folk singers to spirituals, gospel to jazz. It is a great pleasure to welcome Byron Stripling to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, and thanks so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure to have you for our broadcast here at Tanglewood. Give us a sense of what it means to you to come and to do a family concert like this at these mm-hmm. hallowed grounds.
Yeah. Well, certainly, I have to say, you know, I can't ignore the fact that the world has just been through, and specifically the United States has just been through a horrible pandemic. And, you know, we still continue to crawl out of that.
Right.
But there's always the bright light of music to bring us forward. And that's the goal of this concert. I specifically chose to come to Tanglewood and engage families in great American music that has always been the thing that has lifted us out of our hardships. I mean, around, you know, this isn't the first time, by the way, this has happened, you know, back in the 1920s. We were just emerging from the 1918 flu pandemic, which took hundreds of thousands of lives. And there they used music, much of the music that we'll play, some of it will be from the 20s. And there they used music to uplift and people and get them to the next level. So that's really why I'm so excited to come, that I get to use music as a delivery system to give people hope and happiness and optimism through music.
You mentioned the pandemic, of course. What has the last year and a half been like for you as an artist, as a conductor, as a musician?
Well, this is the challenges that life gives us. Like, when we're presented with something, what do we do with it? And so I think our role as artists during this period of time, and me being an artist, is to figure out how we can, like, better ourselves to better communicate to people the power of what music is, the power of what art is. I mean, to me, artists are the people that sustain the culture. And so there's one thing that's always in the back of my mind, and that's why I do a program called American Melodies. And that is the promise of America. Mm. And the promise of America is that intuitive sense that here in America, everything and anything is possible. So I think that's not always tangible as a way to communicate it with words, but music has the power to lift that up, and that's why I play music. And by the way, it doesn't matter your circumstances. You know, the ideal of America, which we try to live up to, is that anybody can come from anywhere and find that, even in the midst of a pandemic, we can dig our way out and use music as that way to sort of open our hearts to the greatness of what America is.
I love the idea of these family concerts. My parents brought me, we grew up in Philadelphia, and my parents brought me to Philadelphia Orchestra family concerts from the time I was, you know, zero. And it had such an impact on me, and I remember those moments so much and what they meant to me. I assume you feel that, not a pressure exactly, but that this really could be the opener for so much of your audience.
Well, absolutely. For me, music has been the turning point of almost everything that happened to me in my life. So very much like you, I lived in Minnesota for a time when I was a kid. And we went to see what Leonard Slotkin, who was conducting at the time, he used to have carpet concerts. And this was like innovative back in the late 70s. And this is where you would come to the symphony in your blue jeans and you'd sit down and you'd hear Mozart, Beethoven, and Brahms, and so many others. And I had heard these around my house, but to experience that live, that's the thing that really changed me as a person. And so that's, again, constantly, as an artist, my goal is, how will people be affected by this? What we know is the theater or an outdoor event like this, it's a magical place. And so when people come there, it's that old 20 saying, forget your troubles, come on, get happy. That's what we're there to do as artists, is deliver that. And that's what I experienced as a kid, much like you.
You are conducting, but of course are also a jazz trumpeter. I assume you'll be playing.
I will play, and I will sing, and I will conduct, and I'll do anything I can to bring a smile to people's faces.
That's a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down the pants.
You do whatever you can to bring happiness into this world. You know, Louis Armstrong said, I am here in the cause of happiness. And I think that statement right there sort of talks about who and what we are as artists, to bring that to people.
You talked a moment ago about those formative experiences as a child. When did you find the trumpet as your instrument?
excuse me. I think about 10 years old. See, I come from a home where music was central to everything that we did. And so my father was playing, in addition to all the great classical music that was, you know, swirling around the house on record players back then. Those who don't know what those are big CDs. Actually, nobody knows what CDs are anyway anymore either. But I had all this music playing, and then also I had the music of gospel music from our churches, and spirituals, Negro spirituals. And then, of course, I had jazz and pop music. My father loved the Four Tops, the Temptations, the OJs. And all of these people were speaking of the things that I speak of now. The OJs told us, everybody get on a love train, you know, things like that. And then with jazz, my father had Louis Armstrong, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis. We heard Doc Severinsen all the time, and Al Hurt. And so I was attracted to those things. And that way, those trumpet sounds grabbed my ears and took me on a journey that would really change me forever. So that's how it all began for me, living and being in a house that was imbued with the power of music.
You talk about that journey, that literal journey. You toured and recorded with Dizzy Gillespie, Woody Herman, Lyle Hampton, Louis Belson, Buck Clayton, Jerry Mulligan. I mean, the list is amazing. Sonny Rollins.
I was very lucky to catch the tail end of some great musicians, who many of whom have passed on, but they felt a responsibility, I think, to teach those of us who are the younger musicians. And that's when I go on stage, Joe, I walk on, and I walk on hopefully with the spirit of everything that they taught me, from Lionel Hampton's band to the Count Basie band where I played with, to all the great conductors, you know, I've worked with. This is my training. It's the on-the-ground training. It's been my goal then to share the spirit of what this music can do to people with everybody, you know.
And then your, for want of a better word, responsibility to then keep teaching others of what you learned.
Right, yes. Mentorship, if you want to call it that, but and passing it along is the only way that the music sustains, survives, and goes beyond the little petty thing that I can do. And so that's a continuous thing. And that's why I play a family concert, because hopefully there will be kids out there, as we spoke about before, that will hear this for the first time. I mean, once they know the history of Alexander's Ragtime Band, which I'll open the show with, one of my favorite songs. But here's what you have to know about that song. It's so cool is that the person, you know, I talked about before, the promise of America, that was Irving Berlin who wrote that song. He came on the Ellis Island. He worked as a singing waiter for a time, and then went on to become an American songwriter, one of the greatest in the world. And it took just like 5-10 years for the songs to start coming out of him. And we heard things like Putting on the Ritz and all the great songs that he wrote. And then he writes a song called God Bless America, Land That I Love. He always emphasized the lyrics said, the land that I love, not that you love, that not that we love, but it was him that said the land that I love. He was talking about himself. That's the power of American music and these American melodies, that somebody who was a Russian Jewish immigrant comes in and writes the quintessential American song. So that's the goal of this concert, to let people know that anything in America is possible. And then you get to the Negro spirituals at the end, which I'll do Amen, this little light of mine, and when the saints go marching in, that's the topper that you can come to this country and not even be invited, that you're forcibly told to come to this country. And even with that, you have a bright light of hope and optimism, and you create songs like This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine, right? You have songs like Amen and all those great ones. And then you have the American folk songs like Oh Shenandoah. But then you're back to the spirituals, like Down by the Riverside, which we will play. I'm going to lay down my burden down by the riverside. And then the song says in there, I'm not going to study war no more. There's profound teachings in all of this great American music. Some of it's Black Americans, some of it's Jewish Americans, but it all speaks to the great sort of umbrella that we are under, the umbrella that we all have imbued with us, the power as Americans to come together and make great changes and make a great America.
You mentioned When the Saints Come Marching In, and I was told that that nobody does it like you do it. And I watched a video the other night of you performing this, and man, is it special. And I can only imagine seeing it live.
Well, we do crazy things when we're live. When the cameras are off, we can do even. You never
can really
know.
Let it go. Absolutely.
Yes, you have to let it go. And that's the joy of live performance, too, because there's that spontaneity that happens. And by the way, I've missed playing for audiences because I've been doing just videos for people.
Yeah.
And there's something special about that rapport that happens between an audience and the orchestra. Well, I'm going to be in front of the greatest musicians in the world with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and I'm mindful of that. And what I've done is to create a show that also, it doesn't just feature me or the musicians I bring with me. I'll bring a piano player and a drummer with me, but it features some of the greatest musicians in the world playing not just whole notes behind me, but really interactive parts. And that's one of my things as a pops conductor that we always do. We always include the string players, not playing whole notes, but digging in and playing those eighth notes and 16th notes and triplets too.
Byron Stripling will be conducting on Saturday afternoon, July 17th at 2:30. It's the Tanglewood Family Concert American Melodies with members of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. You can find out more by going to tanglewood.org. Byron Stripling, a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Safe travels, and we look forward to having you here at Tanglewood.
Thank you. It's a joy to have been with you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Byron Stripling with the Boston Symphony Orchestra and the Tanglewood Family Concert American Melodies is on July 17th at 2:30, tanglewood.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.